Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with special guest this week, Ralph Martin. We've been talking about a very important theme, the prayer of Jesus. What was in Jesus' heart for us? What did he pray for us in John's Gospel, chapter 17, yesterday? We began the week, Ralph, talking about what the Lord's been showing him from that passage. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I really encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can download them and listen to them on whatever device you want, either your computer or you can listen to it anytime. And also, you could go to our podcast. So, Ralph, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's always great to be talking with you about the things of God, because somehow or other, the Lord has kind of reveal to both of us the depth of how much he wants to do for us and how alive Scripture is and how much there is to explore, and it's great exploring it with you.
Yeah, in a nutshell, what would you say Jesus is saying to us in chapter 17 that you read yesterday that we want to kind of unpack today a little bit?
Well, I just can't get beyond that he's praying for us at the Last Supper. He's saying, I'm not only praying for disciples, but for those who would come to believe through them. And that's how we come to believe, through the witness of the apostles and Scripture and tradition and the church. And then he's praying that we be one as he and the Father are one. He says the Father's in him, he's in the Father. He wants us to be in them and them to be in us. And he wants us to know that we're loved with the same love with which he loves Jesus. And he wants the world to see that. So it's kind of mind-blowing. And then he wants us to see his glory. He wants us to be with him where he is. And, you know, a lot of times we say it's a glorious day or glorious sunset, or isn't that a glorious ocean or glorious mountain, and wasn't it a glorious day today, the human love and communion that we experience today in a family or marriage or whatever. But the glory that he wants us to see is beyond and greater than the greatest glory we've seen here on earth. And the union he has for us is greater than even the best of human relationships. I mean, even the best marriages, there's imperfections, there's frustrations, there's disappointments, there's ways in which we're not perfectly one as we'd like to be. Even in the best families, there's misunderstandings, there's not getting each other, there's imperfections, and of course, sometimes it's even worse than that. There's horrible wounds and sins and things like that. But even in the best marital union, even in the best friendship, even in the best family, there's still a tinge of sorrow, there's still a tinge of incompleteness, and there's a hungerness for more, a more perfect love, more perfect communion, more perfect knowing and loving each other that we're limited right now. Jesus wants to prepare us for a limitless love and communion and a limitless perception of glory. We call it eternal life. We call it heaven. But it's just pretty amazing what the Lord has in store for us.
You know, and Jesus is saving us. We know he's saving us from eternal separation from God and hell, saving us from the power of sin. But what even concretely, he's saving us from the experience you just described, that we oscillate between moments of wonder, moments of connecting with love, moments of connecting with human belonging, and just feeling like things are right. Mm-hmm. You have these moments, but then other times there's just unbelievable alienation and sadness and loneliness. And even the good stuff kind of leaves you empty, so we keep pursuing. It doesn't fill you enough, you know? There's something in us that's meant for complete fulfillment.
Yeah.
The fulfillment of all desire, like you wrote in your book, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're made for. And Jesus is saving us from, again, not only sin and death, but he's saving us from the incompleteness and the alienation we experience. There's a suffering in that.
Yeah.
And friends, as you're listening today, this is the human journey. So don't feel like there's something particularly wrong with you, because you have moments like this. You have moments where you feel this way and you can't explain it and you feel a kind of emptiness. And then moments where you feel like you've been satisfied in this oscillation back and forth. This is not our home. We're not yet complete. And what this reading that Jesus is praying for us is, he's leading us to that point of completion. Wouldn't you say, Rob?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, a practical question may come to people's mind. Well, how do I get this to happen in my life? How do I let Jesus prepare me for this glory?
How do I cooperate with what he's talking about?
Yeah, how can I cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is right now in words and sighs too deep for words, interceding for us for the will of God? Sometimes we don't even know what God's will is for us, but the Holy Spirit knows what it is, and he's right there in the depth of our being. How can we cooperate? I would say the very first thing is to look on Jesus. Just look at Jesus, hear Jesus, see Jesus, love Jesus. Jesus is someone we can trust with our whole life. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus' words are true. Jesus' motivations are pure. Jesus' love is powerful. And we need to trust Jesus to bring us on this journey. We need to trust Jesus to bring us on this journey. And that beautiful thing from St. Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you.
That's exactly what I was thinking as you were saying it. Yeah.
Jesus, I trust in you. We need to say that. We need to have that more and more real in our life. Peter, in my life, and I know your life too, there's a very important scripture passage, Luke chapter 12, Matthew chapter 6. It says the unbelievers are always worried about whether they're going to have enough, you know, food or drink or, you know, security, life, you know. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his holiness, and these other things will be added as well because your heavenly Father knows you need them. And I have to say, in my life and your life, we've tried to live this. We've tried to seek first the kingdom of God first in our life, and the Father has provided for us. And I would just like to encourage the listeners today, take a look at Luke chapter 12 or take a look at Matthew chapter 6. This is a promise that the trustworthy one is making to you. Jesus is making a solemn promise that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his holiness, what we need for our life will be provided. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is not where we claim our Mercedes. But this is where Jesus makes a solemn promise to give us what we need to fulfill the purpose for which we've been created. So I think that's where it starts. It starts with trust.
I think just as you were talking about trusting that word, I think sometimes we can have a relationship to God's word, to the Bible, to scripture, that what we're conscious of is that certain things we're supposed to do, you know, certain commandments, we got to pay attention. Like the book is mainly about remembering the commandments. Commandments are a really, really important part of following the Lord, for sure. But Jesus, in the inspired work of the Holy Spirit, is talking to us personally through this word so that we can move forward. He wants to lead us, and his word is a key place where we get the help we need to answer the question, what do I do? Mm-hmm. What do I do? What should I do? Mm-hmm. And the word of God is full of it, and the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart to help you see and hear about how to pursue the Lord and how to seek him. Seek him first is the first thing you're saying. So then the scripture is going to say, what does that look like? What does it mean to seek him first?
Yeah. Well, when we turn to the Lord and try to seek first the kingdom of God, it means we got to open ourselves to reordering our priorities, revising our values, changing how we spend our time, money, and talents. And that's a lifelong process, but it really means kind of reordering our life around the kingdom, around the person of Jesus. One important way in which I think that has to express itself is spending time with Jesus, paying attention to Jesus, paying attention to his word. That means prayer and scripture. You know, that means really, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in order to progress along the way, which is Jesus, we need to spend time with him. We need to pay attention to him. We need to accept his teaching. Jesus doesn't always mystically give us the teaching in our heart. It's in the book. It's in the word. There's just tremendous things that Jesus makes known to us that we don't need to have a special mystical experience, but just read the word of God, particularly the New Testament at the beginning. Just start with John's gospel or start with any of the gospels and just take time to look at Jesus. Just take time to meditate on what he's saying. A lot of times you say, wow, don't just rush over it. Did you hear what Jesus was saying?
Yeah.
Don't just rush over it. I mean, like, that's kind of shocking. That's radical. So we need to kind of have our mind and our imagination and our thoughts kind of changed by being formed by the word of God. And so the scripture is so important there in prayer.
Well, that's good. I think lots of people ask the question, like, I don't really know what God wants me to do, like what I'm supposed to do and all that. And they're waiting for some kind of special thing to get revealed about who I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do. And after following the Lord seriously for 40 years or more in my life, the main way I learn what God wants for my life is through his word.
Yeah.
And this is why the recent Pope Benedict and others said, this is a living personal word. It's like a personal letter to us.
It really
it's not
is.
Just an abstract ancient document.
No, it really
it's
is.
The living personal word of God speaking to the human heart about who we are. So the saints read the word of God. They live by the word of God. Catholic theology starts with the word of God, right?
Yes, it says it's
but so does the personal journey, right?
Yeah, scripture's the soul of theology. But this is the gift that God's given us. The apostles wrote down in a reliable way what Jesus taught them, what he told them. So much was revealed to them. Now, a lot of Catholics have had their trusted scripture shaken by half-baked scripture scholarship, or they feel like, gee, I don't know Greek, I don't have a master's in theology, how can I understand what it is? And that's not true. Jesus rejoiced that what the learned and the clever couldn't get, the merest of children could get. Scripture's written so that the merest of children can understand the most significant things that are being read there. And I would just recommend people, what you and I use here, Peter, is the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible New Testament. And you can get it on Amazon.com, and we don't have any royalty connection with this, so this is just a pure recommendation. And you can look at the footnotes there, and they're good footnotes. They don't explain everything you might want to have explained, but they're understandable. And you'll find oftentimes that the footnotes confirm your own sense of what the scripture is really saying. So get the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible New Testament and use it. You know, read it regularly. There's just so much wonderful stuff there. And then we also have to remember what the Catholic Church teaches about us Catholics and the Holy Scripture. Vatican II in the Constitution of Sacred Revelation, Section 11, it said everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, who's going to lead us to holiness, and to teach faithfully without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. So the Catholic Church has a very high view of the reliability of God's word. Yes, it's gone through editing process. Yes, it's culturally conditioned. But there's so many clear assertions that you just can't miss what's being said, and it's for our salvation.
Yeah, and one of the tactics of the devil in the last 50 years, even within the church, there's some voices that have undermined the authority of the scripture and undermined people's capacity to be confident that this is a word that can apply to my life right now.
That's
and
true.
I can trust that.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of victory for the enemy that we have to combat. Friends, you can trust this word. It's God's living word. The church stands on it. It's inspired, and it will absolutely change your life. It'll give you a renewed mind, as St. Paul talks about. So, Ralph, we just have a little over a minute left in the program. What's the second thing you might say? You talked about seek God first, and then...
Well, I think we have to talk about prayer, Peter, and maybe at the next program we can do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
Yes, and prayer sometimes is a mystery for people. People wonder whether they're praying right or not, or what they should do, or everything. Let's talk about that, because that's really important.
Yeah, and it's prayer is a living conversation with God, isn't it? And it's a conversation with God that's moved by the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in us. In baptism, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us. God has given us a power and a capacity not only to know that he exists, but to be in conversation with God. And to be able to hear God's voice. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. And the process of prayer and growing in prayer is learning how to hear the voice of Jesus. And he wants to personally lead each one of us back to the Father's house. And the amazing promises Ralph read yesterday in John chapter 17, where Jesus said he wants us to share in the glory that the Father and the Son have together, and the love and the unity that the Father and the Son have. That's literally where your life is going. Friends, that's where God wants every single life. That's what it means by God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the truth, and this is the salvation that he wants to bring to you and to the whole world. Hope you can join us again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.